Good afternoon, 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
You know, I'm making a decision for the state. So if I were to try to make it just based on one or two areas, I don't believe I'd be a very good commissioner.
Kentucky Education Commissioner Stephen Pruitt hosts a town hall meeting in Moorhead tonight. He's traveling the state to get citizen input on the future of public education.
A Portsmouth man is seriously hurt in a traffic crash in Scioto County.
And the Rowan County Fiscal Court is considering building a new home for the local EMS service.
In sports, the Moorhead State baseball team hopes to continue its winning streak tomorrow. The Eagles are home for West Virginia Tech.
But Luke has the stocks.
A possible thunderstorm tonight, lows around 60 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 57-year-old Portsmouth man was seriously injured this morning in the crash of a pickup truck and semi-tractor trailer in New Boston. WSAZ is reporting that the accident happened at the junction of West and Rhodes Avenues shortly before 6 o'clock. The injured man was identified as Kevin Fannin and is hospitalized. New Boston police say he was driving the pickup truck. They say he ran a red light prior to the collision.
One man is dead following a motorcycle wreck in Fleming County over the weekend. Kentucky State Police say 56-year-old Jerry Fiddler of Flemingsburg was traveling southbound on Kentucky 57 when he lost control of his bike. The Fleming County coroner pronounced Fiddler dead at the scene. The incident remains under investigation.
The search is continuing this afternoon on the Kentucky River in Franklin County for a man who is believed to have drowned. Will Rawlings has not been seen since Thursday night when he went fishing along the riverbanks. Pat Melton is the Franklin County Sheriff.
He found another spot and was walking the bank looking for that spot, we suspect. Right now it appears that he might have slipped into the river on mud.
Rawlings is 26 years old. His car was left near the Buffalo Trace Distillery. Police found a flashlight he was using in the river.
The County Fiscal Court is discussing building a new home for the Moorhead Round Emergency Medical Service. Since 2011, the EMS has been working out of a facility located behind the Perkins Center on the Route 32 connector. However, Judge Executive Walter Blevins says that building is aging and becoming outmoded. Blevins says the county may talk to Moorhead officials about locating the EMS inside the structure the city is planning to build for its police and fire departments.
It would be good to maybe put, if we can find enough land, maybe to go together and do that as one building. Because you save a lot of money instead of having, you know, two or three different buildings. You could have one larger building. There's just different ways to look at it. We're going to sit down and try to make some decisions and start looking maybe for some property to see what would be available in the county and in the city.
However, Blevins admits the Round Fiscal Court will also consider possibly building two new stations for the EMS to help it better cover the county. He says it will probably be a year or two before the new headquarters for the EMS is constructed, since Round County is currently working to pay off the debt created by the building of its new jail.
The city of Maysville has cut its cord with the Washington Volunteer Fire Department. The city commission last Thursday okayed a measure ending the town's long-standing relationship with the county-based agency. City Manager Matt Wallingford says it'll be a win-win situation for both sides, since Maysville will save $20,000 annually, and the Washington VFD will become a nonprofit, which will allow it to apply for federal grants and other types of aid. Wallingford adds the department will be given time to get on its feet financially.
Yes, there'll be a three-year period where we will lease the building to them for $1 a year, and we'll also pay the utilities. We just don't want to set them out on their own for failure. We're gonna help them out for 3 years, and then they'll be on their own.
Mason County has also agreed to help the Washington Volunteer Fire Department with the cost of its insurance and vehicles, while also eventually taking over its facility.
People are often counseled not to smoke in bed, but Ashland's chief fire would add another recommendation to the list. Greg Ray says some recent fires in the city underscore the importance of his latest advisory.
We've had a couple fires where people are on oxygen and smoking, and you don't realize you may take that oxygen masks off to smoke, but that oxygen kind of saturates your clothes.
And Ray says that makes the smoker's clothes an accelerant for the fire should there be any kind of spark nearby. The bottom line, he points out, is that it simply isn't safe to smoke near an oxygen tank.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore is hoping the creation of a tax increment financing district between 13th and 18th Street helps spur a major construction project downtown. City commissioners and the Boyd County Fiscal Court have scheduled separate meetings on the same day next month to consider the TIF, which would give local tax breaks to businesses that develop in the zone. Gilmore says he can't reveal much about the proposal at this point, but it does involve raising the old Ashland Oil corporate headquarters. He says the city accepted the building on Winchester Avenue earlier this year as a donation from a bank in Louisa.
It's a situation where we need parking and a convention center, and that's going to make the whole deal go. The good thing about it is a gift to us, and we also don't have to accept it if the deal falls through.
City commissioners will meet at 9 a.m. on May 9th to discuss the TIF district. The Boyd County Fiscal Court will take up the issue an hour later.
Ashland's Economic Development Director is pledging to better publicize its Community Development Block Grant program. Chris Pullman repeated the promise last week after commissioners approved the first readings of resolutions to provide two low-interest loans of $30,000 and $90,000 from the CDBG's Minority Loan Fund. Pullman says the city is currently meeting its requirements for advertising the program, but that's not good enough.
Because we have some really good elements within that program that we need to make sure that our citizens know about. And specifically, our business community needs to know about the things we can do to help them.
Pullum says helping people start new businesses in Ashland is one of the City Commission's priorities. He says the city will use social media, flyers, and other means to better communicate what the CDBG program has to offer.
The head of the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce says state lawmakers used their time during the 2017 legislative session wisely. While meeting in early January to get organized for their return in February, they repealed the prevailing wage law and passed a right-to-work law. Chamber President and CEO Dave Atkinson says an agreement to wait to deal with the state pension system and tax reform until a later special session was also critical because it helped lawmakers focus on less complex issues, which created some big wins for Kentucky's business community.
Right to work that will encourage more companies to locate in Kentucky, repealing the prevailing wage so that public construction projects can be bid at a market rate. Charter schools, we think, is a positive new alternative for improving education in Kentucky. And then also a telecommunications bill that will help us modernize our telecommunications in Kentucky.
Atkinson credits Governor Matt Bevin and GOP legislative leaders for keeping the session focused on ways to move Kentucky's economy forward.
A man who spent several decades assisting low-income Appalachian Kentuckians acquire affordable housing believes the federal government needs to reassess its thresholds for helping them in that process. Tom Carew recently retired after 43 years with Frontier Housing, the Kentucky Housing Authority, and the Federation of Appalachian Housing Enterprises. Carew says Uncle Sam earmarks much of his resources to help families living at 50% to 80% of the median household income. He says in places like Owsley County, Kentucky's poorest county, that simple size is too small and not enough people are getting the aid they need.
But maybe in order to stimulate the economy of Owsley County and these other counties as well, we need to be targeting resources, let's say, to families below 100% of median, because we want to boost the economy of the whole county, not just the individual. So I think there are some creative ways to think about how we target resources that might have a better impact long-term for these areas.
Carew credits 5th District Congressman Hal Rogers for his continuing efforts to help the low-income residents of eastern Kentucky. He says the Saving Our Appalachian Region initiative is also a step in the right direction.
Congressman Hal Rogers is the keynote speaker at Unite's 6th Annual Drug Abuse and Heroin Summit. It gets underway today in Atlanta and continues through Thursday. The Somerset Republican founded the anti-drug organization in southeast Kentucky more than a decade ago. He says the fight continues, but progress has been made.
For example, at the outset, they had 35 undercover agents to cover about a third of the state, 30 counties. Very professional. And so far, they have put in jail 4,400 pushers just in that part of Kentucky. We've got treatment centers. We've got Unite clubs in schools, most of the schools that do after-school things and make it fun. Drug
but Rogers
courts in every county.
But Rogers says more dangerous drugs and new challenges are popping up almost every day, and that's why it's important to keep up Unite's efforts. He says thousands of law enforcement and medical professionals, as well as elected officials, will be attending this week's meetings. The list includes Governor Bevin.
Morehead State University announced its preliminary budget for the 2017-2018 fiscal year today at Button Auditorium. As of today, the budget stands at $150 million. The university plans to hike tuition rates by nearly 5% in the next fiscal year, but even with that raise in revenue, there is still a $2.5 million deficit. Chief Financial Advisor Beth Patrick says each vice president will reduce their discretionary operating budget by 3%.
And each VP has done that a little bit differently based on their own specific situation. And so by reducing our discretionary budgets by 3%, we'll be able to take a balanced budget to the board in June. And we're doing that with as least disruption to, you know, any of the existing units as possible.
Patrick says it has been a difficult budget year, but the university plans to invest in student enrollment and expand in academic areas.
Kentucky's Commissioner of Education will be in Morehead tonight to host a town hall meeting. Dr. Stephen Pruitt says the forum will take place at 6:30 at Rallin County Senior High School. He says it's important to get input on what's happening in the classroom from all across the Commonwealth.
I am a big believer that you can't just simply make everything top down in education. You've got to let people have an opportunity to shape it, but also an opportunity to understand it, because obviously we can't make everybody happy, and frankly, if we made everybody happy, I'm not real sure, especially with accountability, how quality a system it would be.
Pruitt says the meeting will also give him and other state education officials a chance to explain Kentucky's new system of accountability.
A log church in Mason County is facing demolition. MSPR's Victoria Agee reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the building belongs to the Bracken Association of Baptists, and it's their job to care for it. The church was built in 1980 from the 100-year-old logs of the First Baptist Church in Fleming County on what is believed to be the location of the original structure in Washington Cemetery. The building now stands vacant. Because of damage to the roof, the fate of the cabin hangs in the balance. The association has not had the money to repair the roof and voted to have the church torn down 2 years ago. However, the BAB has been given around $30,000 to make the needed repairs. Board member Pastor Tony Lee says they're, quote, in limbo with the situation because of the association's ongoing search for a new director. He notes that an offer has been made to tear down the building free of charge, but no decision has been made. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
A major renovation of Ashland's tennis courts is set to start in a few days. Sean Murray is the city's Parks and Recreation Director.
The contract is for just over $186,000, so it is a significant project. We're very fortunate to be able to put this back into the park. Our current plan is to come back with four tennis courts, and then we're going to come back and we're going to add pickleball courts as well. So we may take up one to two tennis courts and put pickleball courts in as well. So now it'll be multifunctional.
Murray says the project is expected to take about 3 months.
One of Ashland's greatest athletes says she's humbled that city commissioners have voted to name a street after her. Megan Nyer says she'll be in the city next month for the official dedication of Megan Nyer Way. It's a two-block stretch now known as Old 13th Street, and she passed it on her way to the city's YMCA. That's where Nyer learned to swim, earned an athletic scholarship to the University of Florida, and became the winningest diver in the history of collegiate sports. Nyer now lives in Atlanta and works as a sports psychologist, but says she will always consider Ashland home.
I just wanted to say thank you to the Ashland community, and I'm probably going to get choked up about this because, you know, again, when you come from a small town and that small town comes together to create systems and opportunities for people to excel, you don't have to be from big cities. The Ashland community was so strong and so supportive and so providing great opportunity.
In 2006, Dr. Megan Nyer was voted the most outstanding diver of the last quarter century. She's a member of the International Swimming Hall of Fame. now taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows around 55 degrees, a 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies with lows around 60 degrees. Wednesday, some thunderstorms early, then clearing throughout the day, highs around 80 degrees. That chance of rain is at 50%. And now taking a look at current temperatures around the region. It is currently 74 degrees in Ashland, 73 degrees in Flemingsburg. Inez is setting at 68 degrees. It's 73 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, and it's currently 75 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
It is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, Governor Matt Bevin has signed a new House bill which ensures new leasing protections for victims of domestic violence. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports.
A new Kentucky law removes a barrier that victims of domestic violence often face when making the difficult decision to leave their abuser. House Bill 309 gives people with a long-term protective order the ability to terminate a rental lease with 30 days' notice to their landlord. Mario Doherty with the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence says without that protection, victims often stay in abusive homes and relationships.
If they leave their abusers and they break a lease, they've just damaged their rental history. They've just really hurt themselves financially and economically.
Governor Matt Bevin signed the bill last week, and it takes effect in late June. House Bill 306 also makes it illegal to evict any victim of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual abuse, or stalking who has a civil or criminal protective order. O'Doherty describes victim advocates as thrilled with the progress made in this year's legislative session. Lawmakers also replaced the state's outdated mandatory reporting law for spousal abuse with a new education-based approach.
We believe the old law was keeping survivors from seeking help. They were concerned that their abusers might find out that they had sought help.
O'Doherty notes the law in no way eliminates the requirement that anyone who suspects child abuse report it to the state. She explains that when the mandatory reporting law was passed in 1978, the state had only one domestic violence program. Now there's an extensive statewide network. Under the new law, when a person discloses domestic violence to a therapist, doctor, or other professional, that professional is required to provide information about domestic violence and sexual assault programs and how to access protective orders. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:47, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Nathan has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Morehead Mind Games. On display through May 13th, the exhibition features 4 dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Morehead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
The Eagles are looking to fly steady. Good afternoon. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. A strong weekend performance has the Morehead State baseball team back on track. Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles totaled 60 runs in sweeping a 3-game series from SIU Edwardsville at Allen Field.
Thursday and Friday, Aaron Lasher and Dalton Sandball gave us really good outings in starting roles. I thought we swung the bats extremely well all weekend long.
The 3 wins move the Eagles to 11-4 in conference. They are 3.5 games behind league-leading Tennessee Tech. MSU is back at Allen Field tomorrow for a 5 p.m. non-conference game against West Virginia Tech. It's an off day for the Cincinnati Reds as they prepare to open their interleague tomorrow night against Baltimore at Great American Ballpark. The Reds, meanwhile, are dealing with another key injury to their starting rotation. They've placed lefty Brandon Finnegan on their disabled list because of a strained shoulder. He's expected to miss about a month. Manager Brian Price's job is now to find someone to fill in for Finnegan.
We know Romano's going to be pitching. We got to kind of wait and see what happens with rookie Davis, how he comes around, if that's an option. And if not, then we have some internal options here, and we have some kids in AAA that can pitch. So we have the people that do it. It's just, it's you hate to lose a pitcher that's worked hard and is a big part of your ball club.
Davis went on the Reds' 10-day DL list last week after being hit in the throwing arm with a pitch. He's expected to return to the club soon. Taking a look at one contest that happened earlier in Major League Baseball, the 8-5 Boston Red Sox ended their four-game series with Tampa Bay with a 4-3 win over the Rays at Fenway Park. The Morehead State men's basketball team has picked up a verbal commitment. Davon Cooper, a 6'1", 165-pound guard from Wagoner High School in Louisville, will sign with the Eagles. Cooper averaged 21 points and 8.5 rebounds during his senior year. His coach at Wagoner, Brian O'Neill, says the versatile Cooper can play the 1, 2, or 3 spots.
He can handle the ball real well, but he also is a very proficient scorer. He can shoot it well, and he also can get to the basket, so he's just a pretty good player all around offensively, so he should be a big help for Morehead. I'm excited that he's going to be there with you guys.
In addition to MSU, Cooper was recruited by Ball State, Western Kentucky, and Winthrop. Ohio State reportedly jumped in on him late. Along with the new signees, the Morehead State basketball team will also add on another assistant coach to their program. MSPR's Braxton Howard reports.
Joining recently promoted Jonathan Maddox will be former head coach of Motlow State Community College, J.T. Burton. In two seasons at MSCC, Burton led the Bucks to a 55-13 record, a Region 12 regular season and tournament championship, and an Elite Eight finish in the NJCAA tournament. Prior to Motlow State, Burton spent the 2014-15 season as the director of player development at the University of Tennessee. Before Knoxville, he had a successful six-year stint as the head coach of St. Catherine College in his hometown of Springfield, Kentucky. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Braxton Howard.
Some notes from around college basketball. Florida junior forward Devin Robinson is entering the NBA draft. Robinson averaged 11 points and 6 rebounds a game for the Gators last season. South Carolina sophomore P.J. Dozier will remain in the NBA draft and sign with an agent, according to ESPN. Dozier averaged 14 points and 5 rebounds a game last season. And Kansas star freshman Josh Jackson is entering the NBA draft. Projected as a top 5 pick, Jackson averaged 16 points and 7 rebounds a game for the Jayhawks. The Morehead State football team's defense has been working on a spring makeover. Reloaded with several new and younger faces, Coach Rob Tenure and defensive coordinator Zach Moore want that group to play a more attacking style in 2017.
And, you know, it's just not blitzing. I mean, obviously, we're going to blitz as much as we did last year, maybe a little more. But it's about putting our guys in situations schematically to, you know, pressure the quarterback, be aggressive, play a lot of games up front, defend the run. And just try to bottle things up, you know, not give up as many big chunk plays in the run game.
The MSU defense last season allowed averages of 35 points and 415 yards per game to the Eagles' opponents, including 230 per contest on the ground. And finally, for today in sports, with last Friday night's blue-white inter-squad game wrapping up his team's spring practices, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops is now looking ahead to the 2017 season. Stoops says the Wildcats had a great spring, noting their practices were physical and efficient, and they got a lot of important work done.
We're getting better. I think we're getting better. We need to have a long, hard summer. We need some guys to really get in really good shape and work hard and be ready to come back out next fall and play better. I feel like, you know, so I don't know if I answered that, but we grew. We got better. We are better, but we need to continue to push.
In Friday's scrimmage, the blue team, generally featuring the Cats' first-teamers, dominated the white squad 31-14. Junior Saheem King led the winners by rushing for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a look at sports. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Tailgate area opens at 11 a.m. with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Former Morehead State football players who received Pioneer League honors will be recognized at halftime. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher as a weekend filled with geopolitical worries ended more calmly than investors expected, while bank stocks charged ahead. At the close of the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 183.67 at 20,636.92. The S&P 500 was up 20.06 at 2349.01, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 51.64 at 5856.79. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 3-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. U.S. stocks were given a boost after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told the Financial Times that Republicans could complete tax reform without incorporating the border adjustment tax. And the SPDR S&P Retail ETF rose more than 1%, which was a pleasant surprise, led by Rent-A-Center, which was up almost 6%. Vice President Mike Pence, speaking in South Korea today, said the era of strategic patience with North Korea was over, and the vice president made his comments on the border between North and South Korea a day after North Korea's failed missile test. The Trump administration is working with China and its allies on a response to North Korea's missile program. The benchmark U.S. 10-year Treasury note hit its lowest yield level since November 17th before bouncing back to trade around 2.23%. Gold futures, which had been a popular trade over the past week, also traded off of session highs. And earnings season was set to kick into full gear this week, with Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and eBay, among others, set to report this week. Netflix was set to report today after the close. And so-called hard economic data has softened recently. On Friday, with the markets closed, the Labor Department said the Consumer Price Index, a key gauge of inflation, posted its biggest drop in more than 2 years for the month of March, and the Commerce Department said retail sales dropped more than expected last month as well. In the oil markets, crude oil finished down 0.9% at $52.70 a barrel. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Boeing and J.P. Morgan, and the worst performer was ExxonMobil. In the S&P 500, the best performers were NVIDIA and M&T Bank, and the worst performers were Insight and Dish Network. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $2.42 at $124.66, CSX up 81 cents at $47.23, AEP up 17 cents at $67.71, AK Steel down 9 cents at $6.29, Marathon Petroleum up 66 cents at $49.90, and Anthem was up $1.83 at $166.82. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
And taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly cloudy skies with lows around 55 degrees with a 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow mostly sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies with lows around 60 degrees. For your Wednesday, some thunderstorms early, then clearing throughout the day. Highs around 78 degrees. That chance of rain is at 50%. Thursday, warm and mostly sunny skies. Highs around 84 degrees. Friday, partly cloudy with highs around 65 degrees with a 30% chance of rain. And Saturday, rain likely with highs around 70 degrees. That chance of rain is at 80%. And looking at the current temperatures around the region, it is currently 74 degrees in Ashland, 73 degrees in Flemingsburg. Inez is setting at 68 degrees. It's 73 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, and it's currently 75 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Ellen Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Courtney Howell and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.